Thank you, Richie, for sharing this morning our message of praise and victory. And while we were making lots of noise, I want you to know that the Gospel of Mark begins with, Jesus says to the leper he healed, "See that you say nothing to anyone." To the unclean spirits who identified Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus sternly ordered them not to make him known. To Jairus and his family, after healing his daughter, Jesus ordered, "No one should know this." After taking a deaf man aside in private and healing him, Jesus orders them to tell no one. Peter responds to Jesus' question about who he is, saying, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly orders them not to tell anyone about him. Peter and James and John saw Jesus dazzling bright on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And Jesus orders them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the shroud in which Jesus moves throughout Judea, the land of the Jews, in silence. At least, this is what Jesus asks of so many he encounters, or those who witness, or those who can hear and see clearly. See, as Jesus extends unprecedented compassion, mercy, and healing, he is also challenging religious and political authorities. Jesus asks for anonymity. Like any parent knows, when you tell a child not to do something, the doing of it becomes all the more irresistible. On Jesus' opening day of public ministry, the leper who Jesus heals defies Jesus' request such that Jesus can no longer go into a town openly. And by the time Jesus cures the deaf man, the gospel says, but the more he ordered them not to tell, the more zealously they proclaimed it. So as Jesus heals and teaches throughout Judea, he is chased by crowds and becomes increasingly famous. It's this fame, especially the following of a crowd, the excluded, persecuted masses, that simultaneously makes Jesus a target of fear by religious and political powers. While Jesus thoroughly understands the dangers of his teachings, his followers are swept away by Jesus' promise of God's kingdom and the reign of God. Jesus speaks the language of his people and touches the longings of their souls. See, Jesus is speaking to a people who have been historically oppressed, whose story is born out of liberation from slavery in Egypt and living through the brutal imperial reigns of the Babylonians and the Romans. This gospel, written in the period of the temple's destruction, is responding to the cries of a people seeking a new kind of leader, a leader who resists power, who reigns without the threat of a cross, who will be a voice for the powerless. That's the wonder of this moment that we now fondly call Palm Sunday. The entire book before this, Jesus has been going, shh, shh, right? Keep it quiet. Keep it on the low. Well, the palms that we wave are suddenly a symbol of victory, goodness, steadfastness, and triumph. Jesus, who has traveled throughout Judea, now stands at the gates of Jerusalem, the political and religious seat of power. Of course, this throng of people sees this moment with the exuberant hope of generations that their God of steadfast love will restore Jerusalem and their temple to its glory. Victory is come. Open the gates, wave the palms in triumph, and proclaim, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Do you hear it? Listen to the crowds. The silence is broken, and Jesus beckons. Let's turn up the volume. It's no accident that Jesus enters Jerusalem on this day, during the week of Passover, when Jews arrive in throngs to attend the festivals and visit the temple. Jesus sends disciples ahead to seize a colt so that everyone may be presented with a new kind of leader, that all may know that the kingdom of God has certainly come near. Jesus enters the gates of Jerusalem unarmed and riding on a colt. No limo, on a colt. Even while receiving the triumphant cries due a great military leader, Jesus arrives as a leader who humbly rejects domination. Identifying with the poor and vulnerable, Jesus refuses violence. The triumphant entrance of Jesus is so completely disorienting that it challenges religious and political leaders. And to the resounding cries of Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus poignantly enters the temple. But it's this final line in the reading that strikes me. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So this Greek word used here for look is actually the same one used when Jesus is confronted about healing a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. It's not an innocent looking. It's a glaring look. What did he see? He saw enough that he returns to the temple and challenges the religious powers. He tosses tables. Jesus is a faithful Jewish man who is speaking into his community, sharing the very language of his people, and challenging them to live into the covenant of God. And likewise, the author of Mark is speaking to a community who is scattered and no longer has a temple, the very house of God which has defined their faith for generations. This isn't the start of a new work, friends. It's the continuation of a faithful work of God's people. But Jesus didn't go in and celebrate what he saw happening there. Jesus challenges what he sees there. Here in the temple, we discover the difficult work of Holy Week to which we are called to see with new eyes. It might seem a tiny moment in the life of Jesus, this going in and just taking a look. But it reminds us that we too must look in our temple. As we raise our palms and our voices, this is the honor we afford Jesus, to look about in our temple, to reflect and raise up our faith, to continue the good work that already is here. Friends, as we sit on the outside of our sanctuary on this Palm and Easter Sunday, we worship with great anticipation of a near future return to worship in-house. It is time to look around at everything and reflect in our experiences through the pandemic. Consider who we have become and discern who we will be in the local community. We are a church family that now knows life without a building. We have new experiences through Zoom worship, small groups, and local mission. The COVID-19 pandemic and the social and political trials of this year offer new lenses through which to see our neighbors and community. We are a new people of faith. Our neighbors and community have also been made new. Let us recognize and embrace what we have learned and what we wonder and hope for in the faithful work of Calvary Church as we move to reunite in spirit and body. See, just as Jesus gathered the crowds and their voices, just as Jesus touched anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear, I invite all of you to actively participate in the upcoming strategic work of Calvary Church. First, the Vitality and Sustainability Task Team has been hard at work And we are inviting everyone to a really important administrative council on Monday, April 5th. That's the Monday after Easter at 7 p.m. on Zoom. We will be sharing information about the current financial status of the church and recommendations for addressing budget needs. This will include conversations about the sale of the apartment house Calvary owns and leases next door. It's really important that our whole congregation come together for this conversation. Secondly, we are seeking people who are interested in reimagining worship. As we transition initially to a mixed Zoom and in-person congregation, and then eventually back in-house. But we don't want to just move back in-house. We want to incorporate what we now know about live streaming and online worship communities. So our first meeting is scheduled for Monday, April 12th. If you're interested in reimagining worship, contact me. And finally, Calvary is participating in a district-wide training for strategic planning. As we enter the post-pandemic era, this training will assist us in facing the challenges with the knowledge and tools to bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Anyone who is interested in creating a vision and mission for Calvary Church should contact me. Training begins via Zoom on Thursday, April 15th. There is no need to shush. Especially not today on Palm Sunday. And let us also not lose sight of the difficult journey that follows. This is Jesus' road to death. Opening the gates, stepping into the temple, and looking led to Jesus' death. Dying of the old so that all things may be made new. This is the work of Holy Week. This is the invitation extended to the Calvary faith community. Don't just come to the victory celebrations of Palm Sunday and Easter. Join Jesus. Join Calvary in the challenging work of looking so that we may be made new. May we open the gates. May we celebrate the victories of what Jesus has done and is doing at Calvary Church. Amen.